Hey, feeling unsure about your finances these days? You're not alone. That's why Noble Gold Investments is here to help. Just hear it straight from the people who they've helped. The Noble crew walked me through everything with no stress. With their help, I could finally sleep easy at night. And now this month, Noble Gold Investments is handing out a free 5-ounce silver America the Beautiful coin if you qualify for an IRA. Invest in gold and silver with Noble Gold Investments. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com right now. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com right now. Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Vivek Ramaswamy joins the program. Email us as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast application and type in Charlie Kirk Show. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Joining us now is Vivek Ramaswamy. You know he is running for the presidency, and he has some exciting ideas about how to fix this country. Vivek, welcome to the program. I want to just dive right into the Israel situation. How should we think about what happened in Israel from America First perspective, not from the traditional neoconservative perspective, still having the back of our ally in the region? Vivek, how should we think about this?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the way I think about it, Charlie, is that these were barbaric attacks. They were medieval, inhumane attacks. And it was wrong. And Israel absolutely has the right to defend its own homeland to the fullest extent necessary. And I think the job of the U.S. as an ally is to support Israel diplomatically, to support Israel with the necessary munitions needed to do that. We store some of those munitions in Israel, intelligence sharing, against the UN, which has a habitual response almost always to draw false equivalence between Israel and the terrorists and enemies who target Israel. That's where the U.S. should be leading. But while keeping a clear-headed and cool-headed response that avoids an all-out war, a regional war in the Middle East that enmeshes the U.S. in it, that does not advance U.S. interests. That is the key. And we require, I think, a cool-headed response, a rational response here, Charlie. This was a catastrophe for Israel, and as an ally of Israel, the United States is affected by that too. But we can't make the same mistakes that we have in the face of past catastrophes, say 9/11 or otherwise, in entering prolonged regional conflicts in the Middle East. And so we have to do both of those things at once. Have Israel's back so that they can defend their own homeland while being rational and avoid getting yanked into a broader regional conflict, and I have some very clear and specific ideas of how to do it. I am disappointed in other Republican presidential candidates, like the likes of Nikki Haley, who have been hysterically shouting things like finish them that are entirely incoherent, calling this an attack on America. It was a bad attack on Israel, but that is still not an attack on America. That's irresponsible, and this is a time for actual America First leadership, and that's what I would bring to the table.
So, Vivek, the question then is Iran. How should we think about Iran? Should we reapply sanctions on Iran? Should we try to cut off the money? Are there more things we could do against Iran? I mean, the Biden administration is just lying when they say that there's no evidence that Iran was behind the Hamas attacks. That's completely and totally false. How should we think about Iran?
So Iran is fundamentally hostile to the United States. We have to see that for what it is. Let's take the latest lie, which I think is absolutely relevant to what happened here, the $6 billion that were unfroze to Iran. And by the way, more recently, even payments that were sent, $10 billion from Iraq to Iran earlier this summer, that strengthens Iran. And it is a lie when we say that those are only reserved for humanitarian purposes. Just think about it for a second. If you're a country or a company or whatever, and you have $6 billion coming in, yes, even if that's restricted in its use, that $6 billion that you would have spent on humanitarian purposes that you can spend from a different hand supporting terrorist groups like Hamas or Hezbollah. So that's a lie, and Iran is a problem. I think our top objective with respect to Iran has to be making sure that they completely, fully phase out any nuclear capabilities. The Biden administration has been a disaster. I think that we should absolutely apply the full financial force to make sure that Iran is weakened. But at the same time, Charlie, and no one else is talking about this, I think it is boneheaded U.S. policy by the Biden administration, with the aiding and abetting of some Republicans, to engage in a serious discussion with Saudi Arabia about becoming nuclear equipped in the region as well. That is crazy. And so I think nuclear nonproliferation throughout those countries, the Arab and Shia countries in the Middle East, I think is a top priority. Iran cannot be nuclear equipped, but we're not helping ourselves when we're having that same discussion about nuclear technology transfer to Saudi Arabia. And I think it is remarkable, Charlie, that I'm the only Republican that actually has the spine to bring up that issue, but that is part and parcel of what a rational U.S. strategy here has to be. And we can't be dancing around eggshells. This is an important time to both support Israel while also be really clear-headed about we're at risk of seeing a major all-out regional war in the Middle East that does not advance U.S. interests. And a true U.S. leader, a true America First leader, would avoid that outcome while still standing for our friends in Israel. That's the way I would lead.
So the other candidates, they're increasing the chatter. I, for one, am cheering for Israel to be able to get justice. And, you know,
yes,
Vivek, this is not – can you expand on that? Because this was not just a typical Israel-Hamas border dispute. You know, when I first saw this on the news, I wrongly assumed, okay, probably a couple dozen dead, not diminishing that, right? But, you know, kind of what we've grown accustomed to over the last decade, right? Rockets here, rockets there. They fight for a couple days, and then they come to some sort of settlement. There's now reports, Vivek, that they were cutting babies' heads off, and
it's
they were not going from they were not going for military targets. And I think this is the really important thing we must emphasize, that it would be bad if, okay, they attack a military base, they're at war. They bypassed other military targets to go for civilians. So
yes. And I think that it is accurate, Charlie, when people have said, and I think rightly called this Israel's 9/11. I really do think it was, because it was as much a psychological attack on Israel's national right to exist. That's really what this was. That is heinous. And Israel needs to decide what its response is going to be. That decision belongs to Israel, and it's up to us in the U.S. to respect that decision and to support them as they defend their national self-existence, as they rightly have the right to do for their homeland. And I think it was different, but I think one of the lessons to learn is that we made disastrous responses in this country to our 9/11 in this country. And I don't want to see Israel make those same mistakes.
Yeah.
But more importantly, I don't want to see the U.S. make those same mistakes. We went 25 years of wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, sacrificing $3 trillion of taxpayer money. More importantly, thousands upon thousands of innocent American lives. To what end? The Taliban still in charge in Afghanistan, still a hostile anti-American regime in Iraq, vulnerable to Iranian incursion. So we cannot repeat those same mistakes of the past while still making sure we act with fortitude to allow Israel to defend its own homeland as they deserve to. And that's the kind of clear-headed leadership we need. And the reason I'm being vocal about this now, Charlie, is that the rest of the Republican field has lost their minds on this issue. I mean, I haven't heard where Trump is on it, but I'm talking about the other people who are on that debate stage. I mean, the Nikki Haley's and the Mike Pence's, the Tim Scott's. This is heading in an irresponsible direction. I'm even seeing Ron DeSantis using a bullhorn, making a George Bush-like 9/11 recreation that I don't think really fell anything other than flat. This is wrong, and I think that we have to be clear-headed in our response.
No, I mean, yeah, Ron DeSantis like grabs a random bullhorn and goes into the street as if he was over the ruins of 9/11. It fell flat. It was not smart.
Yeah.
So I want to keep talking about this, because how we respond as Americans is very, very important. And, you know, Lindsey Graham is going out there, I think, rather irresponsibly saying we might have to go have American jets go bomb Iranian refineries. I think that's insane, right?
I think
and
it's insane.
Some people So the Pentagon right now, quote, does not rule out troops on the ground to rescue American citizens in Gaza. Now, I could potentially see an argument for that, but my gut instinct, Vivek, 45 seconds, is we have. I don't trust these people to not have that potentially barrel into a bigger story. Vivek.
So look, again, we have to be level-headed about our principles. What's our principle? America first. And part of America first is no American left behind. So I think there is a reasonable discussion, Charlie, to see how we prioritize getting American hostages out of that situation. But that's a separate point from a broader regional conflict in the Middle East. And I think that we should be really clear-headed. Whatever our response is, the limiting principle here should be we're not going to see the U.S. enmeshed in some other ground troop conflict in the Middle East with Iran or otherwise. And I think it is beyond insane that we're actively discussing, for example, nuclear technology transfer to Saudi Arabia. The other principle needs to be nuclear non-proliferation across the board. Iran, Saudi Arabia, full stop. While still supporting Israel's ability to defend its own homeland. That's what real leadership means here.
Are you prepared for the unthinkable ahead? Charlie Kirk here. We all need to pray for the best, but prepare for the worst. That means stockpiling emergency food before it's too late. Right now, go purchase a 3-month emergency food kit from MyPatriotSupply.com, the nation's leader in self-reliance. Order yours today by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Each family member needs their own kit when disaster strikes. These 3-month kits from MyPatriotSupply.com give an abundance of delicious meals, providing over 2,000 calories a day. You'll have plenty to eat when everyone else is scavenging empty store shelves. Stock up now because you won't get a warning when disaster hits. You are 9 meals away from anarchy. That's right, 9 meals away from anarchy. Order by 3 o'clock today and your order ships the same day for free. The unthinkable can happen at a moment's notice. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. I want to play a piece of tape here. Let's go to, Nikki Haley, as mentioned. I want you to respond to this tape, Vivek, and explain why you think this is an irresponsible answer. Play cut 5, please.
This should be personal for every woman and man in America. Why? Because when they did this, when they did this surprise attack, when they took these hostages, when they murdered these families, they were celebrating. And what were they celebrating? They were saying death to Israel, death to America. This is not just an attack on Israel. This is an attack on America because they hate us just as much. And I'll say this to Prime Minister Netanyahu, finish them. Finish them. Hamas did this. You know Iran's behind it. Finish them. They should have hell to pay for what they've just done.
Vivek, your response.
I think that was an irresponsible response from somebody who touts her own foreign policy experience. When I say this, Nikki Haley does have foreign policy experience, and it shows, among other things, in her bank account. That's a separate point for another day. I do not think that somebody who profits from war as a military contractor or otherwise should be able to get anywhere near the White House. But put that to one side, she's representative of a broader wing of the Republican Party. The Lindsey Graham, John Bolton, Chris Christie, Mike Pence, Nikki Haley wing of the party that is trying to bring back an era, a bygone era for now, of disastrous U.S. Middle Eastern engagement, almost as though they're salivating over the opportunity to go to war again. This was a disastrous attack on Israel. It was the equivalent of Israel's 9/11. It was wrong. It was barbaric. It was medieval in its nature. We have to help and support Israel to defend itself. But that is different from calling it, as she literally did, an attack on America. That means you don't understand what an attack on America actually is. There are attacks brewing in America. We have porous borders in this country, violence rampant in cities across this country because of that border crisis. More people due to die in this country this year, 80 times as many that died on 9/11 dying of fentanyl poisoning in this country from what crosses the southern and northern border. There's no interest in that, though. She's calling this an attack on America. And just in a literal sense, it is irresponsible for somebody running to be our commander-in-chief to speak that way. And then to invoke both Iran and Hamas in the same sentence and then hysterically shout, finish them. That is the kind of warmongering that is dangerous without precision. So put them to one side, Charlie. Put that wing. It's Nikki Haley, but she's representative of a broader toxic movement in the Republican Party. We need clarity. Stay out of World War III. Stay out of broader unmeasured conflict in the Middle East while still enabling Israel to defend itself as it has the right to do, with diplomatic support, munitions support where necessary, and also, frankly, intelligence sharing. Another question, Charlie, and this is really important. Everybody else in the existing establishment says this is a question for later. I want to know what the hell went wrong with U.S. and Israeli intelligence and with Israeli defense. When there's an airplane that crashes, they don't let the same airliner that crashed the plane analyze the black box. That goes to somebody else. We need that answer now. How this was able to happen in an era of what should have been heightened security, approaching the 50-year anniversary right around it of the Yom Kippur War of 1973. How did this happen? And until we get that answer, we're at risk of making some of those same mistakes at an even larger scale as the likes of Nikki Haley beat the drums to war, almost rooting for it in the Middle East, to say we need a cool-headed, rational, level response supporting Israel's ability to defend its own homeland because that's the right thing to do, and Israel fully has the right to defend its national self-existence, and we stand with them and against anybody else who will argue against that. But at the same time, diplomatically, with sanity, avoiding that broader regional U.S. enmeshed conflict in the Middle East. We've seen that movie before, and we don't want to see it again.
I want to explore something with you that I don't think has been covered. Number one, we are told, this is a wrinkle that has not been covered by Steve Schmidt and other people, that January 6th was 9/11. You know what? No. Actually, what just happened in Israel, that should really put some of these domestic security state people in their corner. Like, no, actually, that's what a 9/11 looks like. Okay? It should put things in perspective. But number two, Vivek, we have this massive Leviathan, this Federal Bureau of Investigation that has a whole category for MAGA that is spying on conservatives. We have the CIA, international. I am not confident, Vivek, that our government is currently monitoring the sleeper cells that are in this country to potentially prevent an attack on the homeland. We have a wide open southern border, and it seems as if, according to the government's own sworn congressional testimony, they say domestic, violent, right-wing extremism is the greatest threat.
Balance of nature, changing the world one life at a time.
I try to take care of myself. I try to eat right. And I love fruits and vegetables. I'd rather have them than anything else, but I know I don't get nearly enough. So I thought, I'll try it for 2 months and no harm, no foul. If it doesn't work after that, then I've tried it and at least I know. Within 2 weeks, I noticed a huge difference in my energy, sleeping better at night, and just energy. I would get up in the morning and get up, not just sit around. You guys have got to try this. You have to try it. You owe it to yourself to try it.
The wife and I both think it's done a lot of good. We both think it's, you know, it's improved your overall day-to-day, how you feel. And we've turned everybody onto it. Our kids are on it. We've got brothers and sisters that are on it. We've got some neighbors we've turned onto it. So we're very pleased with the product and the results. It's not like you're Superman, but you definitely know you're healthier. You're going to lose weight. And I've never heard that said in any of the commercials, but by golly, you do.
I work in a school, so I'm around like 1,000 kids a day constantly. And so I wash my hands and use alcohol on them probably 100 times a day or better. And my hands are always cracking open and splitting. And I did not have that this entire winter. And I bet you anything, this is me, I bet you anything it's balance of nature. It's the only thing I've done different. Like the guy on your commercial says, I'm going to keep on taking it the rest of my life. And I feel the same way. It's going really good. I mean, I feel better. Got more energy and, you know, I can go through my day better.
Start your journey to better health with Balance of Nature. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com to get 35% off your first preferred order. That's 1-800-246-8751. Go to balanceofnature.com or call 1-800-246-8751 and get this special offer by using discount code CHARLIE.
So you hear frequently that right-wing domestic violent extremism is the greatest threat to the homeland. Vivek Ramaswamy continues with us. Vivek, do you have confidence in our federal government to preempt a sleeper cell activation event here if the Middle East goes into a kinetic regional conflict?
Absolutely not. There is no basis to have that confidence. So, Charlie, when I've talked about my plan, for example, to shut down the FBI, and I stand by it, and people will use this as an occasion to say, oh, no, that's a crazy plan. No, it's actually doing two things at once. First is we're taking aim at the corruption that begins in that rot of the failed Bureau of Investigation that is the modern J. Edgar Hoover FBI, still the J. Edgar Hoover building that people walk into. That's the source of corruption. By the way, the same one that tried to target Martin Luther King with suicide over improperly collected tapes is now targeting conservatives and what they call MAGA extremists as terrorists. That's wrong. But we have to go also one step further to measure the effectiveness of this. This isn't just a slogan for me. This is clarity of vision. 35,000 employees at the FBI. 20,000 of them are back office bureaucrats. We will send them home to find honest work in the private sector as they should. But 15,000 of them, Charlie, are agents on the front lines, good people that are being used poorly. They're not doing as good of a job as the U.S. Marshals on sex trafficking from kids and otherwise, or on drug enforcement or on financial crimes. So we will move them to the U.S. Marshals or to the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network or to the Secret Service or otherwise, other parts, the DEA, that have had far greater specialization. And the FBI we have right now is purposefully asleep at the switch when they have had the same people doing counterterrorism now that were doing financial crimes or fraud before and vice versa. They completely lack even the competence, let alone the specialization, to get that job done. And so when a guy like me comes in and says, we're going to shut down the FBI, but move the 15,000 good people on the front lines, not only is that going to reduce corruption and cost and waste and bureaucracy, it will also increase the effectiveness of being able to actually see the real enemies are anti-Americans in the United States who want to harm the United States, not America-loving patriots who happen to be political enemies of the current administration, which is what we see today.
So I want to emphasize this. And by the way, let's play cut 60 here. Here's Joe Biden saying the greatest threat is white supremacist right-wing extremism. Let's play cut 60, please.
To stand up against the poison of white supremacy, as I did in my inaugural address, to single out as the most dangerous terrorist threat to our homeland is white supremacy. I'm not saying this because I'm at a black HBCU. I say it wherever I go.
I didn't know there were non-black HBCUs. But anyway, let's also play cut 59 and contrast what Joe Biden says with cut 59.
Tell you, for over 2 years now, Border Patrol agents have been telling us they've got extreme concerns about who is crossing our southern border, primarily because so many agents have been pulled off the front lines to instead focus on processing. And that then leaves gaps in our border where we simply have nobody out on patrol. And the numbers are startling. We'll start with the terror watch list numbers. Fiscal year 2023 so far, 151 people on the FBI's terror watch list have been arrested by Border Patrol agents while they were crossing illegally here at our southern border. That is the highest number on record.
So Vivek, connect some dots here. An open border is a direct threat to the homeland. It is not too far of a grasp to say that there could be hundreds, if not thousands, of, let's just say, Hamas-sympathizing sleeper cells here in the homeland. Vivek Ramaswamy.
I don't think it's a stretch at all. I mean, Charlie, I went to the northern border, somewhere where the other candidates haven't really gone, but I think we need to pay attention to it. It is wide open. I mean, it's the footage that I posted online. There are hiking trails literally at the Border Patrol office that you could see at the Customs and Border Patrol office. That is a wide open border where you even have a lot of other people who are getting turned away at the southern border now turning. So make no mistake, we have porous, if not outright open borders in the United States of America today. That is a fact. So one of the things that I think we need to do in response to this attack on Israel is wake up and say that if this can happen in Israel with the level of security and intelligence they have over there, it can absolutely happen right here at home. This ought to be our wake-up call to protect our own homeland, not just sealing the southern border and the northern border with our own military, which obviously is a basic low-hanging fruit step we obviously have to take, and that's solvable. But we have to now deal with the problem that we have within the country already. So I think any resident alien who has in any way been affiliated with Hamas or similar jihadist networks in the Middle East need to be deported out of this country immediately. And some of them, if they're affiliated with Hamas, extradited to Israel, where they deserve justice in Israel in light of what's happened here as well. That's the kind of leadership that we need, targeted, precise, rather than the deflection tool. It's the consistent tool, Charlie, the woke smoke to deflect accountability. That's what you see from the Biden administration.
So I'm going to risk sounding insensitive here, but people know where I come from because I'm a very outspoken pro-Israel person. But Vivek, what does bother me is that some candidates get more fired up about what happens abroad than here domestically. And I would not lump you into that category, nor Donald Trump. But, you know, that Nikki Haley tape or Mike Pence, there seems to be a decibel level that is reached sometimes for the foreign and not the immediate. And I'm not saying this does not justify outrage. That's not what I'm saying. That's not my position. But it is strange that some politicians reach the highest fever pitch when things are happening in a different continent. Why is that? Help me understand.
So part of this is just the selective moral outrage, even abroad. I mean, look at the persecution of 100, 120,000 Christians in Armenia. How much do you hear about that, either from the mainstream media or mainstream Republican, traditional Republican candidates? Not a peep. And so let's take the Ukraine conflict. I mean, both these are around the perimeter of Russia. On one hand, they claim it's good versus evil, which I reject. Ukraine is not in any sense good just because Russia's bad. But then you hear pin drop silence, Charlie, on what Azerbaijan is doing to those Armenians. It's the exact same situation on the same facts, but you don't hear a peep. Now, the reason why there is both Ukraine and Azerbaijan have very powerful, well-connected, well-funded lobbies in the United States, in Washington, D.C., and it's a special interest game. And the same people who are the puppet masters of D.C. politicians are the puppet masters of candidates like Nikki Haley or Mike Pence or otherwise. It is a broken and corrupt system. But I think the key for us is not to be reactionary against them, as frustrating as that is. Israel is the key important ally of the United States in the Middle East. What happened there was wrong. We have to call that out for what it is and support Israel to defend its own national identity, but without using that as an excuse to enter broader regional conflict in the Middle East.
Yeah, I agree.
And it is part of this broader self-loathing when I don't see anybody else getting on a bullhorn for the 80,000 people that are dying of fentanyl overdoses or the crimes that are committed by people who illegally cross the border. Get me the bullhorn for that rather than the theatrics and the histrionics we see from the rest of the Republican Party, which I think is shameful. And I think the future of the Republican Party ought to be unapologetically America first. They're making one last charge to try to stop that from happening. That's the real divide in today's Republican Party. But I think we need to bury the neocon philosophy back where it belongs and go back to putting the interests of this country first. Yes, that does include supporting in the correct and focused ways our allies like Israel, but putting this country first without getting drawn into conflicts that do not advance our national interests.
Okay, so I completely and totally agree. And I want to go to another layer here, which I think is important and it's related. So, you know, we need to look at solving this long term. So, Vivek, are you in support? If you're President of the United States, you're a unique problem solver, you're an entrepreneur. Two-state solution, three-state solution. Some people talk about a one-state solution, which is, you know, very bold. How do we macro? Is this solvable or is this just you're going to have to live with it? That you're going to have to live with conflict. You're going to have to live with disputes. You just have to make sure nothing like this ever happens again. And I think that's important, Vivek, because one of my fears is that Israel, in the pursuit of justice, will pursue revenge more than justice. And I do not want to see this turn into a regional war. I do want them to obviously defend themselves and take out Hamas. But what does success look like in a Ramaswamy administration? Geopolitically, how should we think about this?
So the right answer for Israel should be determined by Israel. And I think that's a very important first principle. They have tough decisions to make for themselves. Are they going to take responsibility for Gazans, which historically Israel has been very reluctant to do, or not? These are tough decisions that belong to Israel, and it is our job to respect the decisions that Israel makes, but making sure that we don't get accidentally mired with U.S. troops on the ground or otherwise in involvement in a broader regional conflict that does not belong to us. So those are some basic principles. Israel should pursue Israel first, and we have their back as they do it diplomatically and in terms of intelligence sharing and limited necessary munitions support in this narrow conflict, while it's our job to look after America first principles. Now, as a U.S. leader, if I'm on the phone with Bibi, I would share with him the learnings, the bad learnings that we have in the United States. When we had our 9/11, we made mistakes in response to that. We got mired in Iraq and Afghanistan, 3 trillion, thousands of lives that we now regret. So good friends, share those learnings with each other. But that's going to be Israel's decision to make what it does for its homeland. But the U.S. decision needs to be, we are going to prioritize avoiding a broader regional conflict and war in the Middle East that does not advance U.S. interests. I think Iran, we need to make sure that they have full slate, no nuclear capabilities. But that is also why it is insane for the Biden administration to be engaging in talks with one of the most oil-rich nations in the world, Saudi Arabia, about nuclear technology transfer. That is beyond insane. And I think that those are the kinds of mistakes that we're actively making as we speak, that most in the Republican Party are somehow walking on eggshells and afraid to call out, that it will take a true America First leader to actually state out loud to keep us out of a broader Middle Eastern war while standing for our friends in Israel, and then apply those principles in places like Russia, Ukraine, negotiate peace there, another place where we have a President Biden that's sleepwalking us into major conflict that doesn't advance U.S. interests. Now these become cumulative, and we're really depleting our own ability to protect our own homeland, which I'm sorry to say this cynically, Charlie, for some people in the United States might even not only be an accident, it might be the goal itself. And I'm not going to let that happen on my watch.
Vivek, plug your website, please. We have one more segment together, but I want to make sure our audience is aware how to support you, how to get behind your grassroots campaign.
Sure. It's Vivek2024.com, V-I-V-E-K2024.com. We're not holding back. I'm not playing the super PAC puppet game, but grassroots will take it. So thanks a lot.
Hey, everybody. Mike Lindell has a passion to help you get the best sleep of your life. He didn't stop at the pillow. Mike Lindell has created the Giza Dream bed sheets. These sheets look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep, which is crucial for your overall health. Mike found the world's best cotton called Giza. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable. Mike's Giza sheets come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Mike's latest incredible deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you'll receive 50% off the Giza Dream Sheets, marking prices down as low as $29.98, depending on the size. Go to MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. That is MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk, including the MyPillow 2.0 mattress topper, MyPillow kitchen towel sets, and so much more. Call 800-875-0425 or go to MyPillow.com, use promo code Kirk, MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. Vivek, in foreign policy, prudence is the most important thing, to not compare everything as if everything is alike. I think of the Russia-Ukraine situation in a completely different, not completely different, but a categorically different box than the Israel-Hamas situation. Everything is not a, you know, a nail, and we're not a hammer looking for a nail, right? So you have to look at things through using prudence and practical judgment. This is a classical trait that the Greeks talked about a lot, which is you can't fit everything into a prearranged box. What would you say to the audience? Because they'll say, but Charlie, if you say you're pro-Israel, why are you not pro-Ukraine? Vivek, what is your response to that?
Well, my response is a couple-fold. Israel is an ally and matters to the U.S. Taiwan matters for practical reasons to the U.S. in terms of semiconductors in a way that Ukraine just does not. And in the Ukraine conflict, just because Putin is bad does not mean that Ukraine is good. This is a country that has banned 11 opposition parties, consolidated all TV media into one state media arm, celebrated a Nazi in its own ranks, Zelensky did, holding the U.S. hostage for more money over holding its own elections. And by the way, the regions of the Donbas, Luhansk and Donetsk, that are occupied now, these are Russian-speaking regions where most of the people don't view themselves as part of Ukraine and haven't been represented in the Ukrainian parliament for more than a decade. And it is pathetic that most people will not have heard of those facts from the mainstream media as it exists today. So we have to reasonably ask in Ukraine, what is a reasonable path to peace? Because this war does not advance American interests. I've laid out a very clear plan to get there, one that will allow Ukraine to come out with its own sovereignty intact. But it's like what you said, Charlie. It's not about analogizing. It's about analyzing each situation in a rational, cool-headed way.
I like that.
About how we advance American interests. And so it's not some blanket one-size-fits-all for the neocon group. It's go to war. But it's not like there's an opposite camp where we should make the same mistake of having one blanket solution. We need a commander-in-chief who can analyze each situation, do it in a rational way without corrupting special interests or influences, and say, how do we engage in a way that, yes, advances U.S. interests, not just for the short run, but over the long run, sure, but still exclusively advances U.S. interests. And that's different in Taiwan from Ukraine, from Azerbaijan to Armenia, to Israel and Hamas. And that's the kind of leadership we haven't had for a long time. I think it's going to take an outsider, Charlie, and if I may say it, an outsider from a different generation, to start with a clean blank slate, to see it with clear eyes. That's what I see missing in today's GOP. I am disappointed with the other people who have populated and permeated that debate stage with the same old neocon, one-size-fits-all pro-war solutions. Shamefully, with some of those people, like Nikki Haley, even set up to make money off of going to war even more. That's shameful. That's the way of the past. Let this not be the Karl Rove, John Bolton, Nikki Haley, Chris Christie, Mike Pence wing of the party that governs anymore. We need a future that, yes, puts America first, but we're going to do it thoughtfully, not making their mistake of the one-size-blanket-fitting-all, but situation by situation, asking that question guided by actual facts on the ground, not a one-size-fits-all approach.
Vivek, in closing here, I want you just to kind of summarize, you know, all this, and I just want to say, look, Vivek, you running for president, very, very important. Your ideas are changing the party for the better. You're moving the Overton window. You're introducing different perspectives. And I feel like you're speaking directly to me, Vivek, because I've known nothing but war my entire life, basically, since 2002 and 3. You feel the same. And I want our audience to understand the perspective of millennial, you know, late Gen Z. We've known nothing but no-win wars and quagmires. And I think that that opinion needs a seat at the table with the moral clarity you've delivered. 1 minute remaining, Vivek, please.
I mean, I do have peers who served in places like Afghanistan and Iraq. To what end? It's frustrating. Years later, they're worse off. But those countries are not any better served with the Taliban still in charge, with a hostile anti-American regime in Iraq. And by the way, it's a generation, Charlie, that's been sold one myth after another, that you go to four-year college degrees, earn that college debt, somehow get a start in the American dream. Many of those same people haven't repaid their college student loan debts. And so I understand why young people, our generation, does not trust the government. It's because the government doesn't trust us back with the truth. And I do think it's going to take a new generation of leadership to speak the truth, to say that, you know what, we made those mistakes. Nobody in the neocon establishment has come out and said it. I would forgive somebody for doing it, to come back and say, hey, we made those mistakes. We were wrong. We learned from them, and we're never going to let that happen again. I have forgiveness in my heart for that. But that's not what we have heard. What we're seeing now is a doubling down to make the same mistakes again, and that's not going to happen on my watch.
Vivek Ramaswamy, I am enthusiastically behind you running for the presidency in the sense of moving the Overton window and representing our generation. God bless you, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
We get it. You're busy. You don't have time to waste on the mainstream media. That's why Salem News Channel is here. We have hosts worth watching, actually discussing the topics that matter. Andrew Wilkow, Dinesh D'Souza, Brandon Tatum, and more. Open debate and free speech you won't find anywhere else. We're not like the other guys. We're Salem News Channel. Watch anytime on any screen for free 24/7 at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.